clarification. Hey, we've been talking for the past weeks about the Holy Spirit and about his work in our lives, that God has given us his Holy Spirit. We've talked about that he reveals what we need to know. He also guides us where we need to go. Reveals what we need to know, right? Guides us where we need to go, but he does not send us without his power. The one of the things that the Holy Spirit's work in our life does is to literally empower us. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's going to come upon you to empower you. And we wonder maybe about that power of God in our lives. Like, what is that? What is this power of God in our lives all about? You know, it's kind of like electric bolts coming out of our fingertips. I don't know. What is this? Yeah, and I don't want to minimize that because, you know, sometimes when we are in the presence of God, we do feel like there's like this electric current like running through us. Last Sunday night during our night of worship, we had some powerful times of ministry right up here around the altar. And I'm going to tell you, there were people that were weeping. There were people that were just so genuinely experiencing that power of the Holy Spirit as we just ministered God's love and life to people. So I'm not discounting the fact that sometimes there is this like, whoa, this like lightning bolt jolt of God's energy within us by just the power of his Holy Spirit. But you know, more often than not, that's not where we live. That's not like what's experiencing, you know, what we experience 24/7. You know, get out of the bed in the morning, flip back the covers, like, whoa, you know, I got the Holy Ghost, you know, and that's usually not the way I climb out of bed. But guess what? Here's the cool thing. Even when I'm not like feeling that like specific kind of power and anointing, the truth is that God has promised his Holy Spirit to be within me, to empower me. And what I've found is that most of the time, this power of the Holy Spirit is actually given in ways that are very, very highly practical. Very practical. So we began looking last week at some of the practicality of this empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because what we see is that he has given us gifts. He's given us gifts. And in fact, last week we looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this said that he gave these gifts to us, these gifts of the Holy Spirit for the common good. Everybody say common good. That means like these are things that are actually meant to help us, not to freak us out. You know, last week we talked about the gift of tongues. That gift is meant to actually build us up, not to freak us out. They're for the common good. Good. It's practical. It's something that can be utilized day by day to build us up for the common good. That means for my good, but it also means for your good as well and for the good of the church as we minister out there in the world, right? Practical. God's power is also very practical. Last week, we looked at the gift of tongues. Today, we get to turn the page, and we get to look at this gift of prophecy, the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 has a lot to do with both tongues and prophecy, both of those gifts. The first three verses of 1 Corinthians 14 is where we're going to start in this moment. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, in the city of Corinth, talking to them about the gifts of the Spirit and their use. Because he started out in chapter 12 by saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit. And so he's taking these three chapters in particular, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, to bring understanding and explanation about the gifts and their use. And he starts out by saying this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Everybody say, eagerly desire. Eagerly desire. Like, we're going for it. We're saying, God, I see in your word that you give the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit actually brings these gifts, and that, God, that I am to, like, go after them. I'm to go after them. I'm going after them like a starving man after an In-N-Out burger. eagerly desire. Like I'm waiting for them to call my number. It's like the line is long, but I am eagerly desiring. Everything is good, right? So listen, we're to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And then he says this interesting thing, especially the gift of prophecy. Especially, like all the gifts are good. They're practical. They're like tools in our tool belt. But he says the one that you should especially, the tool you should especially be eager to reach out and grab a hold of is this gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. We talked about this last week. The tongues is from us directly to God. It's this intimate language of prayer and of worship. But listen, it doesn't stop there. Because he says, no one understands him. He utters mysteries in his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. See, tongues, right, is man to God. We release this gift of tongues in our prayer, in our worship, and it enhances, it kind of transcends, like we looked at last week, our understanding. So we do both. We pray with our understanding. We also pray in the spirit. We worship with our understanding, but we also can worship in the spirit. It's from man to God releasing this gift. But prophecy is different. Prophecy is man to God. It's where God will actually reveal something, stir something in us, call something to our attention. God to man. It's almost like he has this giant, fat, yellow highlighter. Okay? And prophecy is like when God takes the cap off of that highlighter and says, hey, pay attention to this. Hey, check this out. I want to remind you of this over here. I want to speak something to you. Pay attention. I've got something cool and important for you. He brings this highlighting to us. And it says this beautiful thing here. It says that everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Now, I don't believe that that's like the full totality, those three words. Every prophetic utterance does those three things. But Paul's saying, listen, this is really why God has given us this gift. It's for this encouraging, strengthening, comforting. And think about those three words. Strengthen. Do you ever feel weak? Do you ever feel like something's kind of broken and needs to be mended and strengthened? Courage. When we're dealing with anxiety, when we're dealing with worry, we're thinking about that thing that's hanging out there that we don't yet fully have all the answers to. We need courage. And then comfort. Now, all of us go through times because of pain and whatnot where we just need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? God says, I'm giving you this gift for the common good. Those who need to be strengthened. Those who need courage spoken into them. Those who need comfort spoken into them. I'm giving you what to say to build people up. Hey, last week I had the opportunity to hang out with a dear friend of mine, Mr. Lowell. Would you come on up? Would you welcome Lowell? He's one of our amazing greeters. Amen. If you don't know Lowell well yet, you should. He's a lover, and man, he's got a great story. You should hang out with him. Take him to breakfast, lunch, or dinner, I don't know, dessert, and hang on, get to know Lowell. But when we were talking this last week, you shared a story with me, Lowell, and it had to do with someone giving a prophetic word. And you were at a very low time. And would you just take a moment and describe that to us?
Well, it happened when my wife became ill with a disease called Lewy body. And it was a pretty bad disease. And the neurologist involved had to give her a lot of strong medication. And that medication was going to cause her to express a lot of verbal abuse at me. And so he was trying to prepare me for that. And so it got pretty bad. And I started praying about it. And about 3 weeks after that, I was in church at U-Turn. Pastor Roger was speaking. And he stopped the service in the middle. And he said, I think somebody has a word, or the Lord has a word for somebody. So everybody rushed around like, you know, we always do together in groups. And I was standing there by myself, and the usher was standing there. So he came over to me, and he says, does the Lord have a message for me? And I said, well, not that I'm aware of. And he says, well, I think I've got one for you. But he says, it's so strange. He says, I can't understand it. But all this time that I had been praying, I was praying, well, am I doing everything right? Am I treating her right? Am I doing all the right things that I should? And so he says, it's kind of strange, but he said, the Lord said to tell you that you're doing everything just right. And of course, I was so overcome, I couldn't even talk. And it just reminds me that when you need him, the Lord is always there.
Amen. Lowell, thank you so much. What a great and tender example of how the Lord will use us to speak something into someone's life. That individual who said, you know, I don't even know if this makes sense, but I'm just gonna be bold enough to actually speak what I think God may be saying. I think the Lord wants you to know, Lowell, you've been doing everything right. That person had no idea. That was exactly what Lowell had been asking God. God, am I doing this right? Am I caring for my wife the way that you would want me to, the way that she needs? He was at a very, very low point. And God spoke to him through someone else in this church that just happened to be bold enough. And the pastor, Pastor Roger Wheeler, happened to be bold enough to say, you know what? I think that the Lord wants to speak to somebody this morning. Isn't that beautiful? See, that's this work of the prophetic gift. The one that we're told, eagerly seek the spiritual gifts, but especially this one. Because it's meant to bring strength, courage, and comfort to those around us. When we keep reading in 1 Corinthians 14, the very next verse gives further clarity. And he says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So he brings this further clarification on tongues and prophecy. Tongues is meant to build us up. Every time we use that gift of tongues, it's an exercise of our faith, and it kind of builds up our spirit man, right? We're talking and having this intimate time of ministry with the Lord. But the gift of prophecy is different because it says that he who prophesies edifies the church. What does this word edify mean? It means to build up, to build up. And literally, it's meant in the sense of like construction work, building something up. So when you prophesy, you get to be one of God's fixer-uppers. You like the show Fixer-Uppers? You guys are staring at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You guys all know who Chip and Joanna Gaines are. I know you do. The whole world knows. The world wants them to be their next-door neighbors. Listen, and when it says when we prophesy, it says we edify others, the whole church. Guess what? We get to be God's fixer-uppers. It's like the spirit of Chip and Joanna Gaines comes over us. What does it mean to be a fixer-upper? What does it mean to edify? What does it mean to literally take up those hammers and tools and go to work? Well, what happens in that building process? We add on something that's missing. Number one, Something's missing in someone's life. They don't have a full picture of what they need. And God wants to speak something and edify them, build them up, literally adding something new, some new construction onto there that is going to strengthen and beautify and make this really good. The other thing that happens is with builders is not only do they add new things, but they will renew old things. Sometimes we get broken down. Sometimes the building starts to deteriorate. There's cracks in the foundation and cracks in the walls. Got to paint over them, but you got to fix them first, right? You don't want to just patch over. You don't want to just paint over a crack. You got to fix it. There's this renewing work that happens. So not only when we give these prophetic words, will there be the adding of something new, but there'll also be the restoration and renewal of those things that may have been broken through life, through going through challenges and difficulties, brokenness and pain. Sometimes that comes just by turning on the television and we see all the brokenness that's happening in our world. But sometimes it comes right there in the story of our own lives and in our families and the people we work with and in the lives of our neighbors. And we experience this wearing down, this kind of this deterioration of this building of my life. And God says, I've given this gift of the prophetic. Eagerly desire it, and especially this one, because I'm giving it to strengthen, to bring courage, and to bring comfort for the common good, for the building up, so that we can all be those fixer-uppers in the lives of our family and those around us as well. When we keep on reading in this chapter, where he's given us so much instruction, I want to look at a couple other verses. And verse 29, and then in 31 and 32, Paul says this about the prophetic. He says, two or three prophets should speak, and then others should weigh carefully what is said. Two or three prophets should speak, and then others should carefully weigh what has been said. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. I want to talk about a couple of things that Paul is reminding us here about this use of this tool, this gift. Number one is that God desires there to be orderliness in the release of all of the gifts of the Spirit. Here he's talking about the gift of the prophetic. You know, it says, hey, two or three, and then let others sort that out. Listen carefully. Weigh what has been said. Check it out. Does that make sense? How would we apply that? What is the Lord speaking to us? In other words, it's like we just don't get in a line and just have like 50 prophetic words. Ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. It's like they're ricocheting around. They're like, boom, ba-bang, ba-bang. You can't even grab a hold of what God's wanting to communicate. This is not two or three. That's sufficient. Then weigh them. Consider them. Like, Lord, what are you speaking? What are you saying to me? Right? But there's an orderliness about that. In fact, if you go all the way to the end of chapter 14, if you have your Bibles open, in verse 40, Paul even says, be sure that everything is done properly and in order. See, God does not like confusion. Usually where there's confusion and people don't know what's going on, it's because, well, God's plans are not being activated the way he said to activate them. People may be releasing gifts, but it's like they're not doing it in a way that God has given us the blueprint for and the instructions for. So that gifts can be misused. And when they do, there's not orderliness, and it can bring confusion, it can bring a little chaos, and people just, there's no common good when that happens. In fact, sometimes there's common frustration, and people are like, we don't know what's going on. But God says, I have a way for these gifts to be used. Two or three prophets should speak, and then others should weigh carefully what's said. For you can all do it in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Then he says this other unique thing right there at the end of this. He says, the spirits of prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. Check this out. When God gives us these gifts and empowers us, these gifts do not like overwhelm us. Like we all of a sudden become like marionette puppets, you know, like where God's up there with the strings and he's just like jerking you around and pulling you in like, hey, I've got a word. Oh, for you over here. Hey, God does not jerk us around. He said, no, actually, this spirit that I've given you, the Holy Spirit who's bringing these different gifts, they're actually under your control. Meaning that like God could give you an amazing prophetic word for someone. And I really think God wants me to go to that individual and share with them this very strong encouragement, right? But then you could just say, nope. I'm not going to do that because what if I'm wrong? Well, what if you were wrong? I don't know. You were going to bring them this word that was going to encourage them, to strengthen them, to bring them comfort. What if you're wrong? Well, hey, it's at least as good as a Hallmark card, right? Probably better because you're like bringing it and loving on them and hugging on them and saying, hey, I think this is from the Lord. Bring it. God's saying this is in your control. Maybe if you're just bold enough to open your mouth and deliver what you believe that God is giving you. Note, believe that he's giving you because this is by faith. This is by faith. God doesn't send mail in the, you know, you don't open up a letter from God and says, go to Ken, speak these words. No, no, no. This is a prompting of the Holy Spirit that we have to say yes to. I'm in control. I can either say, I don't want to give Ken that word, or I can go and be bold and give that to him. You're in control of this. Just the way last week we talked about you're in control of the gift of tongues. You're in control. It doesn't come over you and God makes you use the gift. No, you get to release it. That's why when it comes to the gifts, I most often use that word release. Because when we pray for the baptizing, overflowing, empowering work of the Holy Spirit, what we see in his word is that when we ask, God gives it, right? And he comes with all of these gifts at our disposal, like the tools in the tool belt. Now they're in our control. We can take them out and use them when God prompts. Or we can leave them right in the tool belt and fold our arms and say, not me. I ain't using that gift. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel mature enough. I don't feel ready. This is the cool thing. God doesn't give gifts because we're all ready and mature. He gives because there's an empowerment by his Holy Spirit. Okay? But there is some wisdom in using these gifts. I want to finish by sharing four things I believe are good things to keep in mind when we want to release this gift of the prophetic. You ready? Come on, you are the quietest church I've ever preached at this morning, okay? Come on, are you ready? Okay, good gifts, eagerly desire, don't be ignorant, right? So I wanna give you just four simple things about releasing this gift. When God highlights something in your spirit for the common good, someone else, how do we do that? How do we release this gift? So I think four real simple things. Number one, you want to make sure that whatever God is highlighting to your attention that you think, God, is this you? Number one, make sure that it's biblical, okay? Make sure that whatever you're hearing in your spirit and you want to kind of test and see, might this be God? See if it matches up to the word of God that we're given, revealed in Scripture. This is what Paul told his son, his spiritual son, Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, all scripture is inspired by God. Okay? That's really helpful to remember that it's inspired by God. See, we're saying this prophetic gift is also under the inspiration of God. So God isn't going to walk in confusion with himself. He's not going to say one thing in the Bible and then give you some other thing that does not match up to what he's already inspired. It's going to match up. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. Meaning like if I'm wondering if this prophetic stirring in my heart is true, see if it's scriptural. See if it matches up to what God says in his word. It's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So the first thing, when we sense that God may be giving us something to strengthen, bring courage or comfort to someone else, first thing we should do is just say, God, does this match up with your word? Because I want to be taught what's true, and I never want to speak something to someone that's false or unhelpful, right? Nobody wants to do that. And sometimes that's what I think kind of causes us to like lose our boldness, is because we don't know if it's right. God, is this thing right? If it's scriptural, yes, it's right. He's reminding you of something from his word that then is going to bring life to someone as you release that gift to them. Okay? That's number one. Number two, ask who this word is for. Maybe you're praying, maybe you're in worship, maybe you're here at church, or maybe you're just at your dining room table and you're reading the word, and God all of a sudden kind of reminds you of something. He like stirs something in your heart. See, sometimes we assume every word that we receive is for the entire world. Well, thank God for Facebook for that. I'm guilty of this too. I don't know if it's guilty, but it's like we hear something's exciting. You know, God highlights something to our attention. What do? We run to Facebook and we create this little meme, or we like get this cool picture and put some words on top of it, and just send it out to the whole world. You know, that's really cool. Actually, I'm sure that does encourage some people. I've been encouraged maybe once or twice out of the 10,000 things I've seen. But listen, how much better and how much more powerful if we take a moment when God stirs something in our heart like that and say, God, did you have somebody in mind when you put this in my heart? Did you have somebody in mind? Because if you did, God, I'll share that with them specifically rather than share with the whole world generally. Can I tell you? That word that Lowell received that was so life-giving to him, guess what? It was personal. It was right there in his face. I don't know if this is the Lord, but I think, so I'm just going to say, Lowell, I think you're doing everything right. And it just, it healed that which had been broken. It strengthened him, brought him courage for that next season, a difficult season, and it brought comfort where he'd really been struggling. I believe the power of that is because it's specific. I know I've had people come to me and with specific things. They always meant a lot more than when somebody just came up to the front and grabbed the mic and said, I think we got a word for everybody. It's not that those holistic general words are not appropriate or right. And sometimes God wants to give his church a specific word. Okay? But always ask, so that's number two, ask God, who is it for? And don't assume that it's for everyone. Assume that God may have stirred that in your heart because there's somebody within your circle of influence that may need to hear the very thing that he highlighted to your attention. Okay? Number three, when we release this gift of the prophetic, use normal language. Use normal language. I think one of the reasons that people are a little timid or maybe afraid to give a prophetic word is because they think that it has to sound a certain way. Because maybe you grew up at a place or heard someone and it's kind of like, thus saith the Lord, the Almighty One, the host of heaven's armies. And it like, whoa, that is like heavy. I don't know if I could do that. I don't even know if I could remember all those cool phrases. And so it's this like intimidation factor of like just releasing what God wants to say. Don't get in God's way. And one of the ways that we can get in God's way is by using like some language that we think is appropriate because it sounds churchy or whatever. And listen, I'm not criticizing anybody, because the one who might be giving that word with all that flowery language, hey, who's to say they're not being inspired by the Holy Spirit as well? But what I'm saying is you don't have to do that. You do not have to give that prophetic word in something that sounds like you're reading out of the King James Bible. Okay? You can give that word that sounds more like the Message translation. Okay? Which is just normal talk. Normal talk. In fact, I think there's two things that you could maybe remember about releasing this gift, about using normal language. One is to talk it out, and the second is to pray it out. Talk it out or pray it out. Let me give you an example. If God was giving me a word for Ken, you know, I might say, I just talk it out. Like, Ken, I think that God may have something for you. You know, when I was praying, God reminded me of this. And just speak that, just that normally, and just say, you know, I think that he, not only does he love you, but you know what? He knows exactly what's going on at work, and he's got it all under control. And then maybe like, hey, does that even make sense to you? Usually when I give a prophetic word, it's followed up with, does that even make sense? Because I want to know. I want to be encouraged. Like if he says, wow, that really, that right hit home. That strengthened me, brought courage to me, or comforted me, right? But just talk it out. Hey, I think that God's stirring something in my heart. I think this is for you. Is it okay if I tell you? You know, and just like talk it out. The second thing is you can pray it out. Talk it out, pray it out. Praying it out is to simply take that prophetic sense and by faith just say, hey, Ken, I just think God wants me to pray for you. Is that okay if I pray for you? And those very same things. Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you love Ken. And Lord, I don't know what's happening at work right now, but God, it feels like you want me to pray for his job. And Lord, and to remind him that you've got everything under control. Jesus, bless my friend and thank you. I thank you for him. Right? Super normal. Not having to use like weird words, not having to like trip over our own tongue, but just talk it out or pray it out, but using very normal language. Does that make sense to you? Talk it out, pray it out, use normal language. And then here's the fourth thing, the last thing. Or actually, that was number two. Number three, this is something that I feel pretty passionately about. And so as your pastor, I'm saying this is the way that we operate at Santa Maria Foursquare. So number three, really like pay attention to this. I want us all to be able to give encouraging words, strengthening and comforting words, okay? I want you to give them freely, freely. If this is like something that is, you've prayed about it, you know that this is biblical, it matches up to God's word, and you just feel this thing, just like what I just kind of illustrated with Ken, like just releasing that for his encouragement, for his strength, for his comfort, all day long. All day long, freely. Just do it. But there's another type of prophetic word that might be for correction or direction. It's a different kind of a word. God might give it a word like that. Like instead of just saying like, hey, he knows what's going on at work and he's got that under control, you might be praying for Ken and go, oh my gosh, I think God may be saying something for his direction. Like, I think God's changing your job, right? That would be a directional word. I think God's changing your job. Like, you need to be ready for a move, right? That's direction. Or correction. Ken, God says you're blowing it. You arrogant dude, what are you doing? Right? And that would be a correctional word, right? Everybody say directional or correctional. See, those are different than strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. Any word that you believe that God may give you that is directional or correctional, I don't want you to give that to Ken without first going and submitting that to a leader. whether it's to me, whether it's to Pastor Joel, whether it's one of our elders, church council members, somebody who's in like a defined position of leadership in the church, because we've only given those defined positions of leadership in the church because we believe that there is a proven maturity, right? That they know God's word, that if they hear something, something's going to resonate in their spirit, say, wow, that's a hard word. But you know what? I think maybe that is from the Lord. So you know what that leader's going to do? They're going to say, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to help you minister that word that would be correctional or directional. Here's where wisdom comes into play. If you're going to bring a word to somebody that is correctional in their lives or directional in their lives, it's always good to take a buddy. It's always good to take a leader and to help with that delivery of that word. So if it's a word to encourage Ken all day long, you don't need to ask anybody's permission because you ask God's. God, is this from you? Does it line up with your word? Mm-hmm. Go and deliver it all day long. Does that make sense? Correctional or directional? Bring a leader. That's just how we operate at Santa Maria Foursquare, because I believe that's one of those things that we can do easily as a church to help the gifts function really, really well, but where we don't inadvertently step on people's toes, bring hurt, or bring confusion in their lives. Okay? So that was number three. Number four is this. Be bold. Be bold. Where did we start? 1 Corinthians 14:1. Eagerly desire the gifts, and especially the gift of prophecy. Church, be bold. And I think there's at least a couple of ways that we can be bold. One is that we can be bold in asking God for this gift. To ask him. Be bold. Say, God, I really would want to be used by you to bring these words of strength, courage, and comfort to others. God, I really want to be that sort of person who can bring these gifts. But also, I need to ask God for his boldness so when he gives me a word that I'm actually going to open my mouth and use it and bring that, to talk it out, to pray it out, but to bring that word to that person for whom it was intended. Be bold. Be courageous. This is the way that the Holy Spirit works through us. But remember, this gift is under your control. So boldness and courage is required for us to release this gift. I want to close with this. We need to remember what we're told in the previous chapter. It's actually 1 Corinthians 13. And you say, well, that's the love chapter. What does that have to do with spiritual gifts? Well, when you keep reading in the latter verses of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, it says that we prophesy in part. In part. That means that when we speak these words, even by faith, we probably don't have the full picture. We probably don't see the full vista. We just kind of see, like, it's like kind of like we're looking through binoculars, right? We see something, but we probably don't see everything. We prophesy in part, and that's really important for us to remember. A couple weeks ago, there was a lady that I didn't know that dropped by our church campus, and she was, we were talking to her, and she was fine with us praying for her. And so actually, Kaylin and I had the opportunity to pray for this lady, someone who lives in our neighborhood, and this beautiful time of prayer. And while I'm praying, I just start hearing this name like in my spirit, and it was somebody's name. It was a guy's name. It was the name Raul, right? So I'm praying for her, but I'm also like praying for Raul. I don't know who Raul is. And so I was bold, right? At the end of this time of prayer, and I said, hey, when I was praying for you, I found myself also praying for somebody named Raul. Does that make any sense to you? Is there somebody? And she said, nope. Nope. Well, cool. Awesome. You know what? Here's the deal. I want to tell you. Your pastor works at these things and in works to be bold, eagerly seeking the gift of the prophetic, okay? And there's been other times when God has stirred something in my spirit that's been right on the money. But guess what? We all prophesy in part, and it's okay. We're never going to be God. He's God, we're not. But we get to release these gifts for the common good. And so be bold. Is it going to be right 100% of the time? Evidently not. God was wanting to remind me of that. But you know what I did is I risked stepping out. I risked stepping out. Didn't break anything that I didn't get the full picture. A guy named Raul got prayed for. That was kind of cool. But other times, God's going to do that, and he's going to use that mightily to unlock that next thing in that person's story in their life. Be bold. But remember, we only prophesy in part. I mentioned a dear, dear pastor, author. His name is Jerry Cook. He passed away not too long ago. But man, he left the body of Christ with some really, really good gifts. He pastored the Fourscore Church that Jason now has the privilege of pastoring. And he wrote a book called The Holy Spirit. And the byline is, "So What's the Big Deal?" It's such a good book, so refreshing. And one of the things that he talked about reminds me of this thing is that, hey, you know, don't get all filled up with yourself. And it's okay if it doesn't all come out exactly right. And he in his book on the Holy Spirit, he made an observation about 1 Corinthians 4:7. And 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay." We have this treasure. The treasure of the Holy Spirit. He's come to reveal to us, to guide us, to empower us. Man, is that a treasure? Come on, guys. Help me out here. Is the Holy Spirit a treasure? Yes. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. That's you and me. We're the jar of clay. Little cracked, little broken. We're not going to get it all right all the time. But listen to what he said. He made this beautiful statement. And Devin, go ahead and put it up there. Jerry Cook said this. He said, "Never underestimate the treasure. And never overestimate the vessel." Think about that. Never underestimate God's power. In fact, that's usually what we do. We usually underestimate God's power and we overestimate our own. We get it backwards when we do that. Never underestimate the power of God. Never underestimate the power of releasing one of the Holy Spirit's gifts in the life of another. Never underestimate what those simple words spoken to someone at the right time might mean in their story. Never underestimate that. But those aren't your words, they're God's. Never underestimate that. Never overestimate yourself. I'm God's man of power. I'm God's woman of prophecy. Call me prophet. Okay, call me prophet. Listen, I know in the body of Christ, there's different ones that they want to kind of label every individual. You know, you're pastor this, you're evangelist, you're prophet, you're apostle. And I think that there's can be a time and a place for that. But you know what we all need to remember, no matter what title someone may have given you, we all need to remember we're all jars of clay. And we all prophesy in part. Okay? So never overestimate the jar of clay. We're just folks. But we're just folks that have been forgiven by Jesus and empowered by his Spirit. And never underestimate that. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus.